Hello, my name is Chip Lang, and you are listening to Total EM. We are back again for another part of the SPOCUS series, the Society of Point of Care Ultrasound, and we are doing this in conjunction with both SPOCUS and Practical POCUS to cover some materials to help those who are in different programs and who are trying to integrate ultrasound. This is not just for those people, though. If you're listening, if you teach in any way, shape, or form, and you want to incorporate ultrasound or already incorporating but trying to find some other tips and tricks, this is the podcast for you. So make sure to listen to this. I would encourage anyone to listen to this because we talk about some unique instances that come up, and it can be very beneficial for those individuals who may eventually be involved in those roles. So let's not delay it any further, and let's get into it. Now the question is how to integrate it. Now we talked about there are some places that are doing day one integration, and that's awesome if you're one of those places, but that's really hard for a program, especially an established old program, to say, okay, now we're going to introduce the new technology and a whole new part of clinical assessment that wasn't there before. Laura, I think it was you who mentioned that you've had a few obstacles along the way in how you're getting it integrated into your program. Do you mind kind of talking about that, how you were able to start integrating it into your current program?
Sure. So when I first started, I started teaching back in 2015. So I was looking around 2016 to start implementing ultrasound into my procedures course. Initially, I was thinking, okay, we'll go harass an ultrasound tech program, borrow their equipment, maybe they'll show us some things. And I looked like I had something set up, but then all of a sudden they fell through at the last second and I didn't really have anything to do. And really, in hindsight, that was probably the best thing that could have happened to me. Not too long after that, our program director actually came across an email from SPOCUS, and I came to find their Train the Trainer program. Which is basically a self-driven curriculum, and then you periodically meet with a mentor over Skype. You acquire your own equipment, you do your own practice, but you follow this particular curriculum. So over a period of a few months, with the aid of my mentor through SPOCUS, I was able to learn ultrasound. I would say it was probably about 3 or 4 months after I started, I started teaching it in the curriculum at our program. So what I did is I started small. I learned 3 scans in particular, and those were the 3 scans I could teach, and that's where we started. Those students were at the end of their didactic year, so then throughout their clinical year, I brought them back a few times when I learned new scans, like, oh, hey, I learned how to do the gallbladder. Let's learn how to scan the gallbladder now. So it wasn't really part of a particular course at that point, but at least they were still getting that exposure. For the following year, I had been able to expand by what I learned through the Train the Trainer program. I had also attended a course on basic ultrasound through the American College of Emergency Physicians. And that was an in-person course that I got to do, and that helped further supplement my training a little bit. And I've just kind of been gradually adding on bit by bit. So at this point, I'm really doing a pretty full ultrasound curriculum. My students will be getting in the spring, that is, a full month of just learning how to do ultrasound. And then we're coming back throughout the procedures course. So if any time there's a procedure we're talking about that we can use ultrasound, we're doing it. So if we're learning about lumbar punctures, then we're going to be bringing out the ultrasound probes and be identifying lumbar anatomy. If we're talking about IND, then we're going to be looking at soft tissue for abscess versus cellulitis.
That's brilliant. What about you, Janelle? How's it going on your end?
It's going great. Actually, a lot of the things that Laura brought up, we are also doing too over at UNC. So I also teach the procedures course over at UNC. And really, anytime that we can do a procedure that can be done with ultrasound guidance, we did central line somewhat recently, we do that with ultrasound guidance. And so that's in our fall semester, which is our last semester for our students' preclinical phase of study before they go out on rotations. So it's really nice that they really have this like hand hands-on course where there is a lot of point-of-care ultrasound integration. However, we don't necessarily have like a, you know, day one start with ultrasound, but our students do get ultrasound exposure in their anatomy course, their gross human anatomy course, in their first semester of study. And so that's their spring semester because we're a January through December program. And this is one of the ways that I've integrated ultrasound that I'm very excited about. I've presented on it a couple of times, and I've got a manuscript that's in review right now talking about the way that we integrated this and the data that we collected for it. But essentially what we do for this is our anatomy course is broken up into, you know, four sections, and they're geographically split up in terms of the body. And we have got four ultrasound units that correspond to each of these anatomy units. And so essentially what the process looks like is that the students will learn about a certain part of the body. So our first one is actually the upper extremity. So they'll learn about the upper extremity in the classroom. Then they will go dissect the upper extremity in the cadaver lab. And then after that, they will have a upper extremity ultrasound session where we look at the vasculature as well as the musculoskeletal components of the upper extremity. And then we do the same thing for the chest and the abdomen, the head and neck and lower extremity, so that they're actually in four different units. And so that's something that I'm really excited and very proud that we're going into our third year of doing this over at UNC. I've also integrated ultrasound a little bit and more informally into the history and physical examination and patient assessment courses. I'm actually going to be presenting a poster at the North Carolina Academy of PA's winter conference on a way that we did this recently. We're calling it Perfecting Your Physical Exam with POCUS. And so we took some of the more difficult physical exam techniques that students tend to have difficulty with. So accurately measuring JVP or doing ballotment of the kidney or, you know, using like the scratch test or percussion to check liver span. And we actually had the students kind of like check their work with point of care ultrasound for some of these sort of tricky physical exam maneuvers. And it was really, really well received by the students. And this was kind of just, it was like a session that I kind of dreamt up 2 weeks before class. And I'm like, we're going to do this. And the students loved it. And, you know, I surveyed them after and I'm getting a little bit of scholarship out of it too. And I think that that's the other thing that's really interesting for educators and medical educators, especially PA medical educators at this point, is that this is a, you know, it's kind of like the Wild West right now. There's a lot of opportunity for scholarship. So if you've got a great idea, something that's unique or novel, and it has to do with point of care ultrasound, do it. And survey or measure or assess it in some way, shape, or form, and then turn that into scholarship. We all know that, you know, promoting your work and getting your work out there in publications or presentations is central to your job as a medical educator. And so why not do that with point-of-care ultrasound?
So I love that you have two different ways, and there are plenty of different ways that you can integrate ultrasound. I don't work in any particular program because I'm not that cool. I seem like I'm already too busy.
You are.
So I don't know how you guys do it. But one thing I do is I go around to different programs and I teach. And one way that you tend to do that with a lot of these programs is it's one of those we come in and we help teach. And like in one place, it's more of like a quarterly or semesterly type deal where I don't know if semesterly is a word, but we're going to go with it.
It is. It's okay.
But you know, every so often we're going to come in and we're going to talk about, okay, you've learned vascular, cardiac, pulmonary. Perfect. So we'll talk about DVTs. We'll do the cardiac exam. We'll do the pulmonary exams. And so just tie that all in together. And these students get in one session, you know, basically on the same day that they're doing OSCEs or something else, we're going to try and include that into their practice. And yes, it's not quite the same. We're just sprinkling in a little bit, if you will, versus doing it a little more constantly, which, you know, I wish we could do it full time, but some programs may not have the supplies. And I think that's something we're going to talk about in a second is what do you do when you need those types of things? But you know, there's going to be supply issues. There's going to be simply time issues. There's also going to be faculty issues. Like, fortunately, you guys, at least Laura, and I don't know if Janelle, if you had to do the same thing at all, but there's the Train the Trainer program through SPOCUS. And so there are ways you can learn and learn on the fly. And I really love Laura's explanation of that, because I was a self-taught person as well and only went to a formal course, just so I could say that I've been to a formal course. But I'm still learning things too. You know, I started out really basic, and that's the thing I want people to understand who are listening to this. You don't have to learn everything at once. Like, I'm still integrating new parts of the exam. For example, transcranial Doppler. I just started messing with that because I just wanted to. There was nothing else for, there was no real particular reason to ultrasound the brain, but I just felt like, hey, let's try this and let's just see and learn something new or different. I'm not integrating it necessarily into my practice right now because I'm still learning, of course, but I just think that you can progressively do this over time without feeling you have to take one big course all at once and try and learn everything and then be expected to turn around within a week and start teaching it. That's not realistic. You know, it's a long learning process, but you can start teaching fairly quickly. There are some really basic exams that you can learn. And Laura, I'd actually be curious real quick. What were the three exams you learned first?
DVT, aorta, and then actually cardiac, which in hindsight, that's a really hard one to actually start off with. But I would say that DVT is very easy to teach and aorta is very easy to teach as well.
I would agree. Those are usually some of the first things I'm teaching because it you can actually teach a lot about the basics of ultrasound when you're doing that, because you're teaching about, you know, using color and Doppler, and you can even get a little bit in M mode, especially if you're including the heart, if you want to go into that extreme with it. But you could teach about, you know, gain and everything else. It's a beautiful place to start. So if people are listening to this and you're trying to figure out what exam should you do first, really the vascular studies are some of the best and they're so easy and straightforward.
Yeah, I agree. And that's where we start with our anatomy course. So I do agree with that 100%.
Awesome. So let's talk about a little bit. We've talked about the basics of integrating. You know, there are different degrees of which, and really if anyone's part of a new program listening to this, I think they may be in some ways the prime spot because they don't have this structured curriculum and workaround. I can't remember which one of you said, I think you both have said it at different times to me, but it's so tricky when you're talking about ultrasound or integrating anything else, because if you have a full schedule, you'll keep a full schedule. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to make new holes in your schedule. But if you have a blank slate where you can start in on it, and some of the programs I've talked to that are very well-established programs working on integrating ultrasound, they're doing it at the same time that they're completely revamping their program, which for them is almost providing, in some ways, a clean slate because they're planning on fixing everything.
Wow.
We're going to stop the podcast there for this week because we are about to get into some logistics, and that is going to take the rest of our series where we're going to break that down with these two faculty members. I am so appreciative that they have been able to come on and talk with us. So we're going to wrap that up next week. Again, if you're binging all these, awesome, because now you don't have to wait a week. And one more time, thank you both SPOCUS and Practical POCUS for helping out and getting everything in motion. And check out their website so you can learn some more there. But until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.